Episode 4 of Ballpark Beef starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 4 of Ballpark Beef. I hope all of you are having a wonderful Wednesday. I have my good friends Nicholas and Jimothy here with me today, and we are going to bring you the beef. That's the name of our podcast, Ballpark Beef. Nick, Jimmy, are you ready to talk shit today?
Oh, I'm ready. I can't wait to hear what Jimmy has to say about the Mets.
I just can't stop laughing at you, bro. You really look like an idiot right now.
Yeah, I'm going to spice it up today, fellas. I'm feeling all spicy. I'm bringing the beef today. I'm going to make it real sizzly today, all right? And we're going to take it easy, and we're going to talk about some baseball. So, let's get into, you know, regular season starts in, what? Tomorrow.
2 days.
Well, as of this episode coming out, tomorrow. But yeah, regular season starting. Best time of the year, baseball time, guys. We're going to see the Yankees win a World Series this year. Mets are going to absolutely crumble and fall under 85 wins. Cardinals are going to be in the cellar of their division. Ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be a crazy season, and I am excited to bring it all to you with coverage from Ballpark Beef. Guys, how was your week?
Wait, the cellar of our division?
Yeah,
come on, you heard me.
I'll go over that later. But anyways,
did you do a drug before we started? Because you're on some shit right now.
Nah, bro, I'm just bringing energy this week. You guys are always so chill, laid back. This is Ballpark Beef. I got Nick monotone as hell half the time. Jimmy's just chilling. I need energy. I'm bringing the fucking energy today, baby. Let's go.
You gonna beep that?
No. Fuck that.
Ballpark Beef, baby. Let's get it.
Let's go.
Let's talk about a little bit of spring training action. We got the at the tail end of spring training. We got some roster decisions to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
We got three teams with young players. One team of which is having no young players make the roster, which I think is bullshit. This Mets fan is very, very unhappy. I think our 26-man roster is not the best 26 men. But that's just my opinion. I'm excited for opening day, though. What about y'all?
Hey, man, I'm excited. Volpe made the roster. He's our starting shortstop. Well-deserved, in my opinion.
God, because you would have cried the whole podcast had he not.
No, but he deserved it. Come on. He deserved it.
So did Vientos, and so did Beatty. Granted, there's not room.
Yeah, and I told you that. And my thing is, right, the 26 best men should make a roster, right? Beatty and Vientos should have made that roster. There's no reason why they shouldn't have. To me, Beatty is the better player than Eduardo Escobar at this time in his career. Vientos is a very solid DH option, and I don't see why they didn't make the roster. I mean, from what Epler said in that video the other day, he wanted to get Beatty more reps at third, which I guess is fair, but why not just have those reps be in the major league level? You know he can hit. He can hit, and he's probably an above-average fielder at this point, right? So
He's making the turn with the glove, and you know what, man? Like, it stinks because the best decision of the spring was probably, and I hate to say this because I hate when people lose their job, but Aaron Ruff not being with the team anymore, being DFA'd, that's great. Cut bait. What a terrible trade that was last year. What a terrible trade it's turned out to be.
Oh my God.
We lost four players for washed up Aaron Ruff, but I wish him the best in his next opportunity, but I'm just glad it's not with the Mets. Really wish that we had, you know, Vientos on the bench as a good righty DH option. Really proud of Tim LeCastro's spring training, though. So, had a really good one. He deserved to make the team. And there's just not enough room on the bench, I guess, for other players. You know, it stinks that it's only 26 guys, but I think the 27th guy is either Beatty or Vientos, probably leaning towards Beatty at this point. But I expect a call up soon. I think Escobar.
I'm sorry. My bad. Did you see the new, you know how, like, for all these years they've been worried about service time manipulation? Did you see the new rules for that? So yeah. if a prospect is called up and starts the season on the major league roster and they finish top three in rookie of the year voting, your team receives a first round pick. That's a huge incentive to play your young guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's what happens when you have good players and you give them the opportunity to play. Good young players for an organization is exciting. You know, it's reason to build. It's a reason to come to the city, the stadium, if they can win a rookie of the year. If they happen to do so, you get rewarded for it. I think that's awesome for the game.
Yeah. I mean, and let's talk about the guy who is going to win rookie of the year, Anthony Volpe, man. That guy's a stud. Let me tell you. Listen, we've been going through shortstops since Derek Jeter, and we finally have a shortstop. Finally.
He's going to hit 210 in March. Or in, okay. In April, my bad.
Four for four of that, please. But listen, the Yankees did make some questionable roster decisions. Willie Calhoun and Rafael Ortega had a really good spring. And I really thought Cashman was finally going to grow some balls and pull the plug on Aaron Hicks. But that wasn't the case. So Willie Calhoun and Rafael Ortega were both optioned. For some reason, they brought up Esteban Florial, which I was a fan of Esteban, but like his bat is just not there. He's got plus-plus speed, and he's a good fielder, but Calhoun and Ortega look really good. I would have loved to see Calhoun with the short porch. But yeah, he didn't make the team. And then the bullpen. I mean, I think we're going to have a good bullpen. Nothing really pissed me off about that. But from what I'm hearing, we're bringing 13 pitchers and 13 position players. And I think one of our position players will be traded for a pitcher. You heard that here first.
Got the inside scoop. Are
you going to shit talk Volpe when he starts doing bad like you do right now?
No, he's young. I don't expect him to fucking hit 400 in April and 10 dingers.
I'm just asking because
he's 21.
You love talking shit when they're doing bad, but you know,
freezing
them when they do well.
Well, you got to say it's different. Aaron Hicks, okay, I could talk shit about him. Josh Donaldson, I could talk shit about him. IKF, yes. The kid's 21, dude.
I'm just asking, yeah. Bro.
Add a zero to his age, and that's going to be his average.
I will gladly take that bet. Gladly.
Yeah, right,
I'm bet good.
I'm praising the over on that one.
I'm taking the over.
Heck good. Let's see.
I'm taking the over. So, Nick, are you excited about your spring training end?
I am very excited about mine because Jordan Walker made the starting I don't even know what it's called again. The starting roster.
The 26
Cardinals.
Man.
Yes.
You'll get there.
I personally think he's going to make the starting lineup. Unfortunately, us losing Bader last year kind of hurt me, but with us losing him, it gives Walker now an opportunity to play in the big leagues. And like you said, with the new rule, potentially give us a top draft pick because I think he's going to be in the running for Rookie of the Year as well.
I agree. He's a very good player, and I'm excited to see him play. I just love watching young guys play. Young guys make the game more fun. Like, I'm sure Jimmy can agree to this. It's more fun to see, you know, like I think I talked about this last week, Brett Beatty out there than freaking Eduardo Escobar. But, you know,
I'm going to be the biggest fan of Eduardo Escobar in April if he gets off to a hot start. You know, I don't know, maybe like 5-6 doubles, 5-6 homers in that month. You know, 350 batting average. I'll be the biggest Eduardo Escobar fan and I'll eat Jesus all my words on Beatty and everything. What?
You think he's going to be on a short leash?
Escobar? Yeah. I think based on the spring, he's knocking on the door.
What is your prediction for Beatty coming up? Like, do you think it's soon or do you think it's like a midsummer kind of thing?
I guess it all depends on Eduardo Escobar, right? Like the only backup infielder we have on the opening day roster is Guillorme. So Eduardo Escobar is not playing well. Guillorme is not playing well offensively. You know, they're going to be okay. They're going to be serviceable in terms of Eduardo Escobar in defense or above average, you know, almost gold glove caliber in Luis Guillorme.
What happened with Alvarez?
If their offense isn't producing, then I think that Beatty gets the call sooner rather than later. Alvarez had a bad spring, and you know what? That's okay because I think he still needs time defensively to adjust. He's coming off of a little bit of an ankle injury. He just needs needs more reps to get back up to game speed, in my opinion. I think that he was hurt a little bit. I don't think that he's hitting too well in the spring, so that's why he got demoted first.
Makes sense.
Vientos, I don't know what Vientos' future is on this team. Like, I just don't know. He needs to learn an outfield position. Because if he doesn't learn an outfield position, then I don't know where he's going to play. can't play. He can't play first because Pete Alonso's there. He can't play third because Beatty's the third baseman of the future. Where are you going to put Vientos? I mean, he's going to be your DH, I guess.
Yeah, that sucks, though.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, if he wants a way onto this team, he needs to learn a defensive position other than the corners.
Yeah. No, yeah, makes sense. All right, let's go into our big topic of the day. Not really a big topic, but our main topic we want to talk about. So, guys, we're going to go into a little bit of predictions for each division this year. Kind of give our favorite, maybe our least favorite, and kind of go over those predictions, talk a little shit with each other. But, yeah, let's get into it. Let's start off with the AL East at the top. Yankees are winning the AL East. There's no team that's better than the Yankees. I can't see any team surpassing the Yankees. Maybe the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have a good team again, but we saw what happened last year. The worst team in this division is probably the Tampa Bay Rays. The Red Sox got a lot better this offseason. That Japanese guy they signed is gonna he's gonna have a good year. He's gonna be a really good left-handed hitter. The Orioles, they're always sneaky. You can never count out the Orioles. Like, for all you know, the Orioles could win 95 games this year. Like, you really don't know. It's the Orioles. They're sneaky.
Far from always sneaky. They were sneaky last year.
Yeah.
They're a basement dweller. Don't cap on the Orioles. They had a good season last year.
I think they're going to be better than last year.
I think they're going to be as good as last year, too, but they're not always sneaky.
And then the Rays, I don't think the Rays have done much to be a better team. So that's why I would say at the top is the Yankees, and in the cellar is probably the Rays, in my opinion.
Did Tampa do anything this offseason?
No, not that I know of. Nothing notable, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're the only team that really did nothing this offseason.
Yeah, that's true.
I also have the Yankees winning that as well. I don't think any team can compare to the Yankees in that division. But it will be a tough division.
It always is.
Yes.
All right. I need to give you the reality check, because who the hell is starting game three in any series you play this year, the beginning part of the year? Who's your third starter, really?
Oh, my God.
Ooh, name your third starter.
Okay, exactly. Clark Schmidt. So Clark Schmidt.
My point exactly. So your third starter, so you're going to win two out of every five games, maybe. And I think that's a tough way to start the season. I think the Blue Jays are a sneaky good team this year. I think they could definitely beat the Yankees in the AL East.
So the same last year.
I think everybody in that division is pretty good. I think everyone in the division has a chance to go 500 or better. Probably have, you know, the Red Sox, the Orioles being sneaky ones in there. I think the Rays are, you know, they're always in the conversation every year. But it's the Blue Jays and Yankees. It's going to be two-headed race to the end. And don't count the Blue Jays out. You ain't got no pitching.
So you have Toronto winning, or you just have them starting out hot?
Oh, yeah, I have Toronto winning.
I can't wait till the NL East. Anyways.
Are you kidding? Wait. Aaron Judge is not reproducing what he did last year. He's going to be.
That's fine. He can regress. He can regress.
He's going to be in the AL MVP conversation, 100%. Fantastic player. Absolutely the best power hitter. Maybe not even in New York, but one of the best power hitters in the game.
Oh my God. You are saying not even in New York. Who's a better?
No, I just questioned myself before I said it. But anyway, you know, just he's gonna have to regress. You come off of a historic season.
Of course.
You're going to come back down to earth a little bit. And he carried the team for a month in the summer. And you can't tell me different.
No, I agree with you. And he obviously is going to regress. You can't do better than what you did last year unless you're Shohei Ohtani. But even if he hits 280 with 40 bombs, that's still a good year.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't going to have a good year. That would be a great year, but it would be a regression from last year where he carried the team. And I'm sorry, if you have significantly less pitching and a neutral AL MVP candidate, not an exceptional one, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have the first month of the season at least like this. Am I wrong?
I think we win 20 games the first month of the season.
That's a bet. 20? I'd take 20. That bet every day.
I'll take the under.
20.
19 and a half, I got the under, bro.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's the lock of the week, folks. Game early.
But when the Yankees rotation does get healthy, they're going to be a scary team.
Agreed.
Yeah. And you guys know it because Rodon, Garrett Cole, Nestor Cortez, Jimmy's regression candidate, and Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt's disgusting. I don't know if you guys watch any of the Yankees baseball, but Clark Schmidt is probably better than Tyler McGill and David Peterson. And he was a reliever last year.
Was he the closer?
No, he's a reliever. Oh, okay. He was a long inning guy. He's disgusting. You'll see. We'll see. Listen, I'm not worried about a starting rotation. Yeah, it's hurt. It's not as good as it was before spring training, but we'll see. I'm gonna stop talking about it too much.
Illusional.
I'm gonna let action speak louder than words, you know?
Illusional.
Anyways, let's move on to the AL Central. I think this is the Guardians division to lose. I don't see any team surpassing the Guardians. The White Sox to me are just mid every year. I'm never high in the White Sox. The Tigers, you know, in the cellar. Royals, cellar. Twins are sneaky. I think they'll be up there with the Guardians, but I really think this is the Guardians division to lose. It's pretty much the same team as last year. Same young, good team. And yeah, I got the Guardians taking that one and probably the Tigers at the bottom of that.
Wow, the Tigers. Okay. I have the Guardians winning. Like you said, it's going to be a race between the Twins and the Guardians. I say it goes to the last couple weeks of the season and the Guardians pull it out. I mean, they had a fantastic playoff run last year, and I think they're just going to build off that. But I have the worst team as the Royals.
Yeah, I'll go right in the middle there. I'll put the Royals and the Tigers away at the bottom because they're just, you know, head and shoulders the bottom of that division. Pick your poison for the bottom. Don't really care. But yeah, the White Sox and the Twins are going to give the Guardians a little bit of a run. But I also have the Guardians at the top.
Awesome. All right. I think this division may be one of the easier ones, the AL West. The Astros are winning the division. The Rangers are phonies. They're phonies every year. They do all this spending and stuff. Yeah, they got DeGrom. I still don't think that solves any of their problems. Seager and Semien in the middle infield is just, it doesn't do it for me. The Mariners are a good scary. Yeah, exactly. The Mariners are a good scary team, but they're not dethroning the Astros anytime soon. The Angels, we all know their problems. They can't get Ohtani, Trout any help. It's the same team every year. And then the Athletics they're just at the bottom. That's a laughable franchise.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't see Houston losing this division in the next few years. I would love for Ohtani and Trout to get some help, you know, because they could definitely give them a run, but they can't find a way. Texas, yeah, I don't think DeGrom is going to change much with that organization. I do like the Mariners. I just don't think it's their time yet, and I would just hate to be on Oakland right now, honestly.
Did you see Oakland drop DFA'd Christian Pache, their young outfielder? That's crazy to me. If I was any team, I would pick him up. He's worth a flyer.
Yeah, Athletics should be embarrassed. The Rangers are going to lose 90 games. That's my take. Middle infielders, old pitching staff. The best pitcher in the league at the top of it, though. And can't deny that. I think DeGrom's the AL Cy Young favorite. But other than that, yeah, they're going to lose 90 games. And the Angels, I'd love to see Rendon pair with Ohtani and Trout to be a formidable trio in that lineup, but I don't really know where you go past that, the Angels lineup. Mariners, I like the Mariners. I think that Kelnick's going to have a good year. I think that trade for Diaz is going to work out for both squads. Kelnick is going to be a decent player. I think he's going to have a little bit of a breakout year this year and not hit under 200. So, but I think, you know, all of that is for naught because the Astros are going to win that division easily.
All right, you ready for this one? You guys ready for this division, NL East? You ready for my take?
I'm ready.
All right. The winners of this division is plain and simple. It's the team that made the World Series last year, and it's the team that had one of the best off seasons. It's the Philadelphia Phillies. They win this division. Second place is the Braves. The Braves are a very good team, young team. They stay healthy, and they have very good depth. Third place is the New York Mets. New York Mets, top of the rotation, is old. That worries me. That worries me very much. How many games are Scherzer and Verlander going to pitch together? Yeah, I know Verlander had was a Cy Young last year, but you don't know what's going to happen. I think your depth around the field is not great. Your bullpen's pretty good. And then in the cellar is the Nationals. I mean, the Marlins, they've been up and coming for 10 years now, so I don't really know what's going on with them.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it any better. I mean, I also have the Phillies winning that division. I mean, the run they had last year, and then with the additions of what they added this offseason, they are going to be a very tough team to beat. Atlanta's good every year. You know, they stay away from injuries. They're always consistent, and they're hungry just every year. I do like the Mets, but I just don't see them competing as they did last year with these two teams. And the Nationals are another team that is just in the cellar.
Here we go.
Here we go. Please. So the word you're trying to use, John, is depth. E-P-T-H. You're trying to say that word. You're kind of saying a different word, though. I just wanted to correct you there.
It's okay.
You know, that being said, I think the Nationals are in the basement. The Marlins are there with them. Then you come to the three-headed monster. I mean, it's pretty simple. That's a tight race at the top. Each of the three teams are good. Obviously, I'm rooting for the Mets to win, and that's, you know, goes without saying. You know, it's kind of a prove-it year. They weren't able to win last year. They were able to win 101 games and not win the division. It's the Braves division, and until the Mets can beat them and pass them and come in first place in the division, it's still the Braves division. So I think that the Mets have to prove it this year. I do think that we're going to get 50 plus starts out of Verlander and Scherzer. And I think
I'll take the under.
I think that's all we need.
I'll slam that.
I think that's all we need. I don't think we need 32, 33 starts from them. I think it would be beneficial for our deep, deep, deep playoff run into November that we don't have them start 32 games. And I think that we have good pitching depth to be able to, you know, traverse the regular season and get through that. I also think that our depth on the infield and outfield is actually pretty good. So I think that we have some false points, but this is a prove it year for the Mets. They need to beat the Braves. The Phillies got better. Braves are young and talented. So I'm not picking a favorite for the division. It's the Mets prove it year. It's as fair of an answer as I can give.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. There wasn't much cap there. So
I didn't cap.
I appreciate it's that.
Legit. I'm a legit fan. The Mets need to actually prove something this year.
All right. Let's go to the most boring division in the league, honestly, in my opinion, the NL Central. The Cardinals win this division. I mean, when you have the Pirates, Reds, Cubs, and Brewers in one division, I mean, you should win this division. I mean,
we get it. It's the worst division.
The Pirates, Reds, and the Cubs will probably combine for
not even 200 wins.
Probably under 200 wins together. The Brewers, I mean, they're going to keep regressing. That's a team that needs a rebuild. Corbin Burns is probably going to be on the move eventually. And yeah, I mean, if the Cardinals lose this division, then something wild has happened.
Yeah, I mean, we know these teams are terrible. We know the Cardinals are the best team in this division. I think this is a no-brainer that the Cardinals win. the one thing I hate about this division is, like, it's just so not competitive to the kind of baseball that St. Louis plays, and I feel like that's sometimes a factor when it starts coming to, like, the playoffs. You know, you're playing against these teams that are sub-500, under-500, and then you have to play, say, the Padres or the Dodgers in the wild card.
Yep. Well, I think the Cardinals win this division easily. I think that, you know, consolation prize for the Brewers is that Christian Yelich has a good season this year. He turns it around a little bit. I think that who's the top end of the Brewers rotation? Do they have the other guys still too?
Yeah, Woodruff and Corbin Burns. Those are two pretty good names.
Yeah, I think that they're two really good players. So I think that they kind of lead the Brewers to at least 82 or 83 wins.
I mean, I would say they have a better rotation than the Cardinals, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just wish that one of the Phillies or the Braves was in the NL Central, so that way we didn't have to deal with one of them. And they would easily, handily whoop that ass of the Cardinals. So
yeah, probably.
Well, yeah, because you wouldn't want the Mets to be in this division. They would just be in second. What do you think?
Yeah, the Cardinals? I don't know about that, pal.
You know your squadron's not better than the Mets.
I like to talk shit about the Mets, but I don't know about that one.
You do realize we have the reigning AL Cy Young winner, right? You do realize that he's not, like, bad. He's not a bad 40-year-old. You do realize that the other guy also has three Cy Youngs that's at the top of the Mets rotation. You have to believe in this team. You can't cap and not believe in the quality of this team.
I mean, yeah, this team is great on paper, Jimmy. It's great on paper. But paper is not what counts.
We were great last year, and the paper said 101 wins.
I don't know, man. I will see. No. Like I said,
we replaced a pitcher that had eight or 10 starts with the AL Cy Young. We replaced a couple of mid rotation starters with honestly a phenom from Japan and another serviceable pitcher in Quintana. Unfortunately, he's hurt. He's not going to pitch at the moment. We have Peterson fill in for him. Bullpen. Yeah, we have a serious hit from Edwin Diaz, but we have Raley, we have Ottavino. We have Robertson to shoulder that load. I think that this team is equal to, if not better than, the 101 win team from last year. And
I think it's worse.
I'm trying not to cap about the division standings because the other two teams in our division also have a really good squad. So just know that we're coming.
All right. Let's get into NL West. I think the NL West to me is getting a little more. The top dog is a little more, what's the word? Prevalent, maybe? I don't know. But I think the Padres are the best team in this division. I think the Dodgers are, they're going to have an off year. I'm not saying they're going to be terrible, but I don't think they win it, you know. What did they have? How many wins last year? 106, was it? Something like that. Some crazy number. But I don't think, 111, yeah. So I don't think the Dodgers are going to be as good as last year. I think they don't win this division. I think the Padres win this division. With adding Xander Bogaerts, that team is crazy. And then having Tatis in right field. Yeah. The Giants are in third place. I don't think they did enough to be relevant yet. The Rockies suck and the Diamondbacks suck. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Even though paper doesn't matter, the Padres' entire team on paper is just disgusting. The Dodgers, I see them regressing. Definitely don't see them capping 111 again, especially with Walker Buehler being out for the year. I have the Giants in third as well. They're just, to me, a above-average team and nothing more. And like you said, Rockies and Diamondbacks are just terrible.
Yep, Diamondbacks in the basement, Padres at the top. The simple as that. Padres got better, the Dodgers got worse.
Yep, I agree 100%. Are we doing playoff predictions today, or that's kind of too far out? What do you guys think?
I mean, we could do a take on which six teams you think will make it in each conference.
I feel that's a little much, no? What do you think, Jim?
I'd have fun with it.
All right, let's do it. All right, six teams from each division. I'll go first. Braves, Mets, Phillies, Cardinals, Braves, Mets, Phillies, Cardinals, Padres, Dodgers. That's my six from the NL. AL, Houston, Cleveland, New York, Toronto, Seattle, and I'm going to say Boston.
Yeah, I think the NL is pretty clear. I mean, you know, unless one team very much surprises us. But I agree, Braves, Mets, Phillies, Cardinals, Dodgers, Padres. I just don't think any other team in this division can compare to those six teams this year. The AL, I agree with you all but one. I have the Yankees, the Guardians, Houston, Seattle, Toronto, and I would like to see Minnesota in the sixth wild card spot this year. So that's my prediction.
Very, very nice. Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are really hitting the nail on the head here. Yeah, now I'm going to change the order because it's going to be Mets, NL East champs. St. Louis, NL Central champs. San Diego, NL West. And the three wild cards, I'll give an order. I'll go Braves, Phillies, then Dodgers. Hot take, Dodgers get the third wild card spot.
I don't see that pretty, that hot this year.
I think that's a pretty hot take. Also, another record year for the NL East. Three teams making it for all of us. That's pretty crazy. Central, who did I have? I think I had Cleveland for AL. AL East, I had Toronto. AL West, I have Houston. Yankees nabbed the first wild card spot. Then we got to go with... Ah, man. Let's see. Probably Seattle. And then I'll do a crazy pick. Maybe the Angels make it this year. Who knows? Love to see playoff Mike Trout.
I would love to see the Angels make it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see Shohei and Trout get some love in the playoffs, but it's just not happening. And for that reason, that's why Shohei Ohtani would be a Yankee next year.
Well, we already know our bet, right? I mean, we have a bet that Ohtani goes to the Mets already, so. He's going to wear orange and blue, bro.
No, he's not.
Stay away from New York.
What? Where is he going to go?
I have no clue, but he's not going to either of the New York teams.
Is he going with Lars Nupar to St. Louis?
I mean, hey, I wouldn't complain, but I doubt it.
His homie.
All right.
Let's, WBC champs right there.
You guys want to do our lock of the week?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to...
So how do you guys want to do this? You want to do like a particular game or just like, cause I have FanDuel up in front of me. So like, do you want to do like a parlay? Like what do you guys think?
I have a different lock of the week and I've been thinking about this one for a while. So I want to share it, but I'll be happy to participate in the FanDuel one. I want to give you my lock of the week.
Okay.
Mets win opening day. And here's why. I'm not just saying this as a Mets fan. Mets have the best number one in the league winning percentage on opening day. We have a 656 winning percentage. We've gone 40-21 on opening days in history. Actually, 41-21. And that includes an 0-8 start from the inception of the Mets through the first 8 years, including the 1969 championship year. So we went 0-8, and then we went like 41-12 the next 55 years or 52 years. That's kind of crazy. So my lock of the week, the Mets are the best opening day team in baseball. They win the game.
So what I'm going to do each week is I say we each do one bet and I'm going to put it into a parlay and I'm going to play that every week. That's what I'm going to do. So you're taking Mets money line, right?
Oh yeah.
Mets money line for opening day. Nick, what would be your lock of the week?
I'm slamming the Braves over the Nationals.
Braves money line?
Yes.
Okay. Let me put that in. I'm betting these. I don't know if you guys want to tail me, but I think that'd be pretty cool.
That's fun, and we should like calculate if we've won or lost, and then update the viewers every week.
You're smashing the Brave over. Okay, and then so we got a two legger right now. I'm going to do something a little different than money line. I'm gonna take the. Let me see this real quick. I'm going to take the over on the Guardians and actually, no, I don't want like that. I don't like that. I'm going to take the under on the Diamondbacks Dodgers game. 7.5.
The under?
Yeah. Taking the under. 7.5.
There you have it. Can you let us know what the odds are?
The odds are... So the total odds for the three leggers plus 366.
All right. Sounds good.
Some pretty good odds.
Yeah. So if you guys want to bet, trust me, I think this is going to hit. Easy come up. This will be every week. We're going to do this every week. This week we're focusing mainly on Thursday's games, which is all the opening day games. In the future, we'll let you know which games we're focusing on. It's most likely going to be whatever game's going on Thursday, so you have a day to place the bets. But yeah, we're going to start kind of putting parlays together, and I'm going to be betting them. I don't know about Nick or Jimmy, but yeah. So it'd be something cool to do.
going to have fun with it. We're not experts, so don't take our betting advice seriously, but we're just going to have some fun with it and tell you our picks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're no professionals, nor do we offer any financial advice, so do not hold us accountable for anything. We are just simply giving our locks of the week.
If you had to pick a money line lock, what would yours be for the week?
If I'm doing money line, I'm going to take Alek Manoah pitching over the Cardinals.
Had to ask that question, didn't you?
I actually might go with that instead.
Okay.
I think I'm going to take that instead. Plus 355. I'll take that.
This guy just hates the Cardinals.
I mean, Alek Manoah, bro.
What do you think? Every ace is going to win?
Alek Manoah's him. You know who else is him? With a capital H?
Anthony Volpe.
Anthony Volpe. Anthony fucking Volpe.
With a lowercase H.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. We'll see.
We don't even know yet. He's so young.
Oh my God. He is.
Look, so you know what he's probably feeling right now? He's probably feeling so much like energy, so much nerves. He's probably not gonna have a hit his first game.
He's not him, bro. He's not.
What?
You can't say he's him, bro. He hasn't even played one game.
You're off the shits, bro. You're off the shits.
So he's him because he had a great spring?
Yes. In my books, yes.
No.
He's him, bro.
No.
You'll see. You'll see. I'm going to prove all my haters wrong. All my fucking haters.
He won't be him, but he can't be him yet. It's just like when you would bash Jimmy for saying all of his Met players were him.
I think that's enough cap for one episode. I don't want to hear Anthony Volpe's name with him in the same sentence until he's maybe rookie of the year. Then maybe we'll think about it.
All right. We can wrap it up, I think. Well, guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Ballpark Beef. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And we brought the beef. Let us know what you guys think about our picks. You know, you could talk to us whenever. We're always available on all social media platforms. And make sure to check us out on the next episode. Thank you for listening. And I hope you all have a wonderful Wednesday evening. Ballpark Beef signing out. Peace out.